Welcome to this special episode of Lyckligare Nu, or Happier Now, as we call this podcast in English. Today we have our new friend Tracy with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Niklas, and thank you, Philip, for inviting me along. I'm delighted to be here.
It's wonderful to have you here. During the summer, I accidentally just stumbled across your podcast, Working from Wisdom. And I really, you know, just by listening to the first minutes of one of the episodes, I got the sense that this is done from that nice place, from that nice feeling. So I really enjoyed that, and also that you had a guest that I hadn't listened to before. That was really wonderful. And then I thought, well, maybe Tracy wants to join us and have a conversation here with us. So would you like to tell everybody a little bit about yourself? What do you do in this world of form?
Yeah, I like that. Who are you in your form self?
Yeah.
As distinct from the formless. I'm from Galway in the west of Ireland. I am a single mom of two teenagers, which actually, you know, that having this understanding and raising teenagers, I have to say, has been a really wonderful experience, because it often comes through them a lot cleaner, you know, when I see their wisdom showing up. And I'm a coach, I'm a transformative coach. And I also run what is called the Women's Wisdom Circle. And that is an online group where we meet twice a month. And it's really, I guess, a space for women to feel safe in their vulnerability and taking their mask off and to show up exactly as they feel in that moment, knowing that they're not going to be judged. And I guess as somebody who, I think I wore a mask for a long time and really struggled to feel comfortable in myself. I was always second guessing. I'm a bit of a joker, and I'd say something and then question, oh, should I have said that? Or are they going to take that personally? I was always afraid that I would offend people, which was silly because it was never my intention to do that. You know, I didn't go around, you know, trying to offend or hurt people. But so I guess feeling comfortable in ourselves, in however that shows up in the moment, in our form selves, is a real gift. And there's a lot of shitty thinking that we need to drop in order to be in that space. So I wanted to create a space where we could explore that together. And that's what the Women's Circle is. So and I have guest speakers in there, and it's, of course, it's not, you know, that we're trying to exclude men or anything like that. I think men are wonderful too. It's just I just felt kind of called to do it, really. I was kind of surprised myself. Apart from that, I've a background in nursing, and I have recently decided to step back into that in some form. I don't know how that's going to look yet, but again, so surprised, because over the years people used to say, would you ever go back nursing? And I'm like, no way, not in a million years. And all of a sudden I've just sort of felt called to go back. And even my personal mind is going, really? We're actually doing this now, are we? And the other part is going, yes, you are. So I feel like I'm heading off on an adventure and I've no idea where it's going. So that's kind of exciting. And to do that alongside my coaching as well. And that's it. You know, what else is there really? I have a dog. I have a lovely little Jack Russell Terrier. He's my best friend and he brings me so much joy. And he is my, I often say he's like my grounding, because sometimes I get in my head and I walk past him and he just looks so cute that I have to sit and pet him for a little while. I'm like, oh, I'm okay again now.
Yeah.
You know?
And now I understand why my dog is barking outside here. He probably wants to talk with your dog.
But yeah. Mine is snoring.
Yeah.
Behind me, so he's good.
Yeah. So how did you come across this understanding?
I think before I did my coaching training, I had kind of come into some spiritual understandings. That was really my first leaning into anything in the area of personal development. Prior to that, I was a bit allergic to it. And then I did a traditional model of coaching, but I had seen something else. And it was so fleeting that I hadn't really kind of got the grasp of it. But once it's like you wake this part of yourself up, and it was not going back to sleep. It was sort of, we've been lying dormant for long enough now while you went off and did all your crazy ass shit. And now you've woken us up. We're not going back to sleep. But I guess in terms of coaching, I really didn't think people would get it unless it had a more of a sciencey flavor to it. So I just had made up a whole story around that. And somebody had introduced the concept of the three principles. And conceptually, I was like, yeah, I totally get that. Yeah, totally. But really didn't kind of pay it any mind until a friend of mine invited me to join her at the 3P UK conference in 2019. And I really only went so that I could meet up with her. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, I'm there. We'll go. I'm sure it'll be nice and I'll enjoy it anyway. But I think I just sat there and I listened to, you know, Elsie and Jan and Chip Chipman and Michael Neal was speaking. And but it was actually one of the guys from Beyond Recovery, which is a UK-based program that goes into prisons where they share that understanding. He just blew me away, because here was a guy who had spent most of his adult life in prison, you know, had very little in the way of a formal education, and who had been in drugs and violence and all of that. And he got it, you know, just like that, and how it transformed his life. And I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something that I wanted to know more about. I just walked away with this sense of, oh, this is all there is. There's nothing else. And even though I didn't know what that was or how to explain it to somebody, I felt drawn and compelled to spend more time. And then 2020, I think the pandemic was me sort of time to immerse in the understanding. And it was funny because earlier in the year, you know, I had spent an awful lot of time in a survival mode. That had been my, you know, two kids, trying to support them. And I can be quite victim-y sometimes. You know, that's when I'm insecure, that's my go-to place, which makes you, you know, puts you in that survival mode. But what I noticed was that in the space of 12 months, I was out for a walk one day and I just had this feeling of, oh, I'm really thriving. But absolutely nothing had changed in my life. Actually, a global pandemic had been thrown into the mix.
Yeah.
That was it, you know, like it's not, and I guess with this understanding, it's nothing grandiose. It's not, there aren't going to be fireworks going off and trumpets sounding and all of this. It's so simple that it's nearly impossible to explain it because it's so simple. But there you are, from surviving to thriving with nothing except just me being in more quiet space or something.
For me, it feels like fireworks, but on the inside. You know, I don't see them on the sky, but when I look at the sky, sometimes it can feel like it's something very expensive, something like fireworks that are so beautiful. That was there all the time. But, you know, uncovers when you get out of your habitual thinking and yeah, being in the hamster wheel, doing stuff all the time.
Yeah, no, I was the searcher to search for happiness everywhere and search for the best methods to feel happy. And I was just sitting in my car and listened to a storybook regarding the three principles, and they talk about the principle of thought, and it just blew my head. Wow. Is it so simple? Can it be so simple? And that opened me up for signing up to the course where me and Philip met. And from that day, it's hard to go back to the place I were before. Sometimes I'm being there in my head, but I know now that the great feeling is always with me. And I can always relax, independent on how the situation is outside of me. And that's such a hopeful message. And I would love more people to find that feeling inside of them, so they don't have to struggle every day, every week, every year. Because the funny thing is, when we found this feeling and stop struggle, everything will happen to you. You don't have to fight for the things that you fight for before. You just get them. Magic things happen, and you can't explain why, but it happened.
And then you may discover that some things weren't really important at all, and you didn't get them.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of nearly one of the biggest drop-ins is, like, when you kind of see the illusory nature of the world outside of us, and how, you know, we create this story about what we need or what's essential to having a good life. And, you know, and as I was explaining to you before we came on the call, you know, I recently had a big insight around what I had seen as being kind of, you know, a difficult 10 years where, you know, my marriage had broken up and I'd lost my home, and so much of my life had changed. And I was always in a phase of creating, like, ideas, and I've always kind of been very creative and gone with it. But I had sort of come to this point of, I've been doing this for 10 years. It should look different by now. You know, it should be this way or that way, or it should, you know. And then I went, says who? You know, I mean, I look back and go, I was always taken care of. You know, ideas for business or ways to kind of support us, they always came to me and they supported us. You know, the only thing that was missing was an acceptance of what is. Because, and again, it's down to that conditioning, you know, visualize what you want, set goals, plan. And I often think that actually causes such a dissatisfaction in people, because all they see is what they don't have and they think they need it. And all they need is that feeling that they can have at any moment when they drop out of the thinking of, I need this, or I should have this, or it should look like that. I mean, I just had a huge wake up around that recently when I saw that, oh, the only problem was you just thought it was going to look different. And what is it, the way something looks anyway? It's made up. It's an illusion.
I often listen to you know, any kind of people, either if it's someone that is in the three principles made up community, or if it's someone outside, but you know, seems to be wise and have something interesting to say. And this week I have listened to Michael Singer. I found a YouTube clip with him, and I think he said like 100 times he said, be open, be open, be open. And then he said, like, don't close, don't close, don't close. And afterwards I was like, aha. And he, you know, he was talking really, really fast, and he wasn't really talking from a feeling that I could sense, but something really shifted there. And it has been a really interesting week, you know, trying to be open when I get into a situation that I usually close otherwise before. And it looks so different. And, you know, being open for me, that is being sort of in no thought, or having not so much thoughts, and being closed, that's when you go up in your head and you know, you think you are the ego, and you have lost sort of the feeling of the other dimension, the background dimension to life, or whatever you want to call it.
I think the big word that kept, I knew there was something that I had to see. You know, I often kind of, I feel when there's something getting in my way, I feel it before I see it. And what's nice is kind of now being, having the patience to just go, there's nothing I can do to speed up that insight dropping in. But the word that just has been rattling through my head really for most of this year is humility. Over and over again, humility, humility. It's not about you. It's not about you, you know, because we, self-centered is like, when we're lost in our thoughts, we are centered on the self. And there is no humility in that.
What does humility mean for you?
Well, I guess the definition that I have kind of seen is humility is not. Humility is thinking is not thinking less about of yourself, it's thinking about yourself less. So you value and you can love yourself, but you don't make it all about the self.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I like you know, I dip in and out of different things that I listen to. And sometimes I don't listen to anything, just music, because I get in the feeling a lot when I listen to music. But somebody in my women's circle had sent me a CD of a book from a neighbor of hers who had written it. She's has passed on now to the, she's gone home. So I had never heard of her. She's a lady named Maureen Kennedy. And the book is called The Path of Remembering Who We Are and Why We Are Here. And it was on my desk for about 2 months looking at me. And I'd look at it and go, nope. Not in the mood, don't want to be hearing any of that, you know, personal. I just, you know, when I'm in my head, I don't want to hear anything. And that's my wisdom too, because I'm not ready, I'm closed. And it's like, there's no point, it'll annoy me because I know there's something to be heard here, but I can't hear it because it's like, you know, you've the blinkers on like a horse and I just can't see. And then eventually one day I went, yeah, okay. And the only place I have a CD player is in my car. So I started to listen to it in the car. And at the very, it's written from spirit. She scribed it. And at the very beginning, the question that they ask, they call it, she calls them the committee, is whenever you're looking for guidance in life, there's a really simple question that you can ask. And that is, what would love do?
Yeah. I have it here.
Love it. Yeah. And it's just, you get caught up in your head and you go, what would love do? And usually it's like, well, I don't know what it would do, but it wouldn't do this. I know that for sure. And I've heard so much. I haven't even finished listening to it. You know, so much has dropped in for me around, I think, surrender in particular. And like you, I had listened to Michael Singer at the beginning of the year and was doing this surrender experiment. I was like, yeah, I'm totally surrendering. Yeah, I'm letting go. And then I realized I was surrendering with a specific outcome in mind. I'll surrender to the universe as long as you bring me this.
And in certain areas, it can be fine to surrender, but not in terms of finances or something else that, you know, you have a lot of thinking around.
Yeah. So yeah, it just that letting go and being open. And one of the things that, you know, they spoke about was that in the form, we can have preferences, you know, so you can have I'd really like to experience this. I'd like to experience more travel. I'd like to experience a nice relationship. I'd like to experience a really thriving coaching business, you know, but to hold them with an open heart. There's the word again, open. And I think that's where we just get a little bit lost and confused, is that we think we have to focus intently on something, keep thinking about it, keep visualizing it. But all that really does is it closes you, because there's something else going on over here that would really like to get your attention. And it can't, because you've got these blinkers on and you can't see.
Yeah, and I guess the things that you would like to do as a person, it's not of, you know, ultimate importance. It's sort of more relative important, and there is something else that is, you know, more absolutely important, and that is not in form. So it's more of a play or more of a game or something to play around with, to experience. And it doesn't really matter what kind of car I drive, but I would prefer that one. And that's fine. And it's the same with everything, really.
How do you think that your understanding of the three principles will affect you being a nurse now, if you compare to then?
Well, for a start, I mean, I was a qualified nurse when I was only 20, which is very young. And my primary concern at that time was, where's the next party and who's bringing the beer? So, yeah, I mean, I certainly, if I look back and see the times when I was really enjoying my work the most, I wasn't in my thinking and I wasn't in, you know, the whatever was going on in my life at that moment. I guess, yeah, I'm really excited to explore, and I don't really know what I'm going to be doing either, but the idea of being able to just be really present with somebody and listen to them, like really, really listen, and to be able to see them as whole and to see their well-being, even if they don't. I mean, that has been, for me, the greatest gift in how I coach people and even how I view people around me, is to, because I would have been somebody who was always looking for, oh, what's wrong with them? I'll fix them. Little bit of a hero complex possibly going on there. I'm really not sure, you know, collecting all the wounded souls so that I could fix them. But that's really exhausting. It's an exhausting way of showing up. Whereas when you can be in a conversation with somebody and completely recognize that they are in an absolute storm of their thinking, and there's a lot of that at the moment. Let me tell you, there are a lot of thought storms going on, and there are an awful lot of I'm right, you're wrong, a lot of opinions. You know, and obviously, and I have my thinking about that too. So to be able to see beyond that and see, I know it seems really important to you, but I see something much cooler beyond that. And that in itself is sometimes all we need. You don't even need the words. You just need to see their well-being and energetically be in that state. So, yeah, whatever that's going to look like, because I really don't care about the politics of, you know, that kind of side of things doesn't interest me. So I think I would just be tuning a lot of that stuff out and just showing up on a really more wholesome level. Yeah, it's my aunt died during the summer. She had been unwell for while she had Parkinson's, and it just so happened that I was there. I was with her, you know. It was over a few days, but it was so humbling. Again, humility. It was so humbling to be there with somebody as they went home, and I think that just kind of woke something up in me as well, you know, of how I can help people or be of service or just show up again, it's like you said, you know, Philip, the personal mind might have this, oh, that'd be nice, but there's another path that's going to bring you someplace. And if it's from love, what would love do? Well, it's going to bring you someplace where something good's going to happen. So I'm kind of just leaning into that to see where it goes.
That made me think of, you know, when you meet someone and you can sort of intuitively sense on a deeper level that they are not in a good place right now. For me, it's really easy to sort of get up in my head and you know, my ego gets annoyed that they are not in a good place. In that state, it's often totally impossible to you know, make the situation better. But I have seen this week that, you know, sometimes you just laugh when someone is so stressed that they don't know what they're doing, and they sort of calm down just for a few seconds at least, or you may say something funny and sort of bring out that super seriousness that they were in that thought bubble that seemed so, you know, absolutely important. So, you know, be open.
Be open. I really love that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, actually, you know, I said at the beginning, like, that I'm a bit of a joker. That humor that I second guessed a lot of it actually is around changing state of mind. Because, you know, often even in a coaching session, when you can sort of see somebody is getting kind of in their head or and something funny will come to me. And I'm pretty good at reading the room, so I always kind of know when it's okay and it's not. But it often literally just snaps you. It's like we become hypnotized by this stream of thought. You know, I often think of, I don't know if you remember the original Jungle Book movie that was made in, I think, the 70s, which might be before your time. But anyway, the snake is, you know, singing the song to Mowgli, yeah. And his eyes start to go with the little swirly things around and around. And like, you can see it. You can see people being hypnotized by their thinking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for me, humor is a great way of just snap, kind of break that spell. And just come out of it and come back into stillness. There's a real comfort in being in a shitty mood. And I've experienced this recently when I was going through my whole, you know, figuring out what was this big block, was that I was irritable, just not in great form, but I was really okay. You know, it was like, no, don't try to fix me. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm in shitty mood, but I'm actually going to nearly just really wallow in it, in a kind of a, I can't explain it. It's accepting everything that is in the moment. It's like being in a shitty mood. It's not a bad thing. Yeah, I prefer it when my preference would be to have a light heart and a feeling of peace and calm, but it ebbs and it flows. So when I'm in the peace and calm, I know that at some point down the line, I will feel sad again, or I'll feel angry, or I'll feel agitated, or whatever. But as long as I don't label them as being a bad feeling, oh no, now I'm in a bad feeling, how do I get back to this nice, which is exactly what I did. And I think in particular, when you come into the 3P understanding initially, you get a little bit all high and mighty about, I'm going to feel amazing all the time now. And then you don't, and you're like, oh, I must be not getting it. You know, or I expect better of myself than to be. And even recently, because I have always been quite fiery. And I've calmed so much, but something triggered me recently and the fire came back and I went, oh, where has that been? And I kind of, actually, I really missed that, you know, because there was an energy in it, you know, and like, there's nothing wrong with being fiery, especially if you channel it in the right place. But yeah, there's that lovely knowing that I can be in whatever feeling I'm in, knowing it's kind of up here, the feeling, but the other feelings, it's there too. Mm-hmm. It hasn't gone away. I don't have to go and look for it. It'll, when the clouds break, that'll just come through all by itself. And that's so freeing. That's really liberating because I don't need to fix anything. Like, I don't have to do anything. Whereas in the past, I'd be like, oh, I better write it out and it'll, you know, it'll all come through. No, nothing. Listen to the music. That's it. Yeah, there's just something nice about being in whatever state you're in. And I'm accepting it and embracing it and going, this is where I'm at right now.
Yeah, and it's also really interesting when you can see that, you know, the clouds, they are not, you know, totally blocking the sunlight. So even though you can experience something that might feel bad or not the best kind of feeling, you can still feel the sunlight coming through. Yeah. So you sort of have that background with you, even though the experience isn't so nice as it should be. And sometimes, you know, you can just, I can't explain how, but you can just sort of shift your focus a little bit towards the light and a little bit off the feeling that you didn't like. And, you know, life just changes in the moment. But if you totally are lost in that cloud and believe that, you know, the cloud is all there is, and then you probably can't, because then you're totally in the illusion of the cloud.
Yeah. And I guess when you see that, and you know, Niklas, that's what you kind of spoke of, that earlier, you know, in Sweden, there are a lot of people who are really struggling. So when you see that they are in those dark clouds, and again, this is kind of where the humility comes in, because there is that, I know something, guys, I know something that can really make you feel better, please come and listen to me. But we don't affect change that way.
Yeah, and sometimes I think you have to meet people you know, in the life where they are living their life. So if you're a coach, maybe you can't reach people that are in the hospital, for example, but if you work as a nurse, then you will get those connections and you will meet people and things will happen. Or as Niklas and I, we work in IT, we'll meet people, and sometimes, yeah, people send something, but they don't, like listening to our podcast.
The thing is that you can't explain the three principles for, or point another person to the three principles if they don't are there to listen with open heart. Yeah. So, and I believe that is what is wrong is if you are going, if you are feeling bad and you go into the to a therapist, many people must go to them, but they don't want to go to them. So what I try to do is to invite people so they're going by their own will. And when they come to me and listen to me, I tell them that everything that they know for now, they have to leave for a few minutes and just listen to what I am saying without any thought. Just listen to the and see what's happening in your body. And if they don't like what they hear, they can go out of the room and put the backpack on with all the things that they already knew. But the funny thing is when people come in and want to listen and it's open from the heart, they don't pick up the backpack when they leave because it's unnecessary to have that. So if you try to point people through the three P by saying to them, you have to listen to me, they can't find it. They must be interested in listen without thought, without analyzing what we are saying, just listen to it. Then it's a better chance for them to get an insight that will make them shine again as they did when they were little kids.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, if you have thinking in your head of you have to listen to me, that's your personal thinking.
Yeah.
You're not speaking from a place of truth and love. You're speaking from I need to be the hero and save you.
Yeah.
So it's back to kind of that humility again of just speaking to somebody from love with nothing on it. And yeah, and giving them the permission to hear whatever they want to hear or hear nothing at all. You know, and they do. I mean, you often know, like I've seen people, I've had conversations with people and there's something, I can see something waking in them. But for whatever their reason, they don't want to go any further with that. And it can be hard to, drop a story. And it's funny, I saw something around this today around something else. We won't even, you know, go there, but around how nobody likes being fooled or conned. And like part of coming into the understanding of the principles is kind of accepting that you've bought into this illusion And if you're not in a stable enough place in the love that you feel for yourself, it can be really hard, you know, on the personal mind, on the ego mind, to accept that, oh man, I've been conned. I've been conned by this illusion of life. And yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow. And for me, the less I care about my personal thinking and the less I care about my ego, the easier it is to see, yeah, there's something here. There's something I've been tricked into believing around the illusion, and I don't see it yet. I'll see it when it's ready to drop in. So I can have my thinking and I can have my opinions. But at the end of the day, I know they're just made up. It's thought. It's not truth. But would I have, if somebody had come to me, say 10 years ago with this understanding? No, I don't think my personal mind would have been ready to drop all of that, because it all seemed so real to me. But certainly there are, I get glimpses with people where they're like, oddly enough, sometimes I speak to teenagers in schools, and I had been doing that for a few years. And then obviously with the lockdown, there was less, but a few had asked me to come back, and I said, yeah, sure, but I'm going to be talking about something slightly different. You okay with that? And they said, yeah, whatever, you know, you do your thing. And I love sharing this with teenagers because they actually see it really quickly. And at the end of one of the talks, a girl looked at me and she said, so everything that we see around us came from somebody else's thinking. I said, pretty much, yeah. Even school. And I said, yes, even school. You know, she was 16 or 17, and I could just, she sat back in her chair and was like, oh, you know, because it is, it was all created from, somebody thought it would be a good idea to structure school in this way. And then they did it, and 100 years later, they're still doing it the same way because they think it's real, instead of actually somebody just thought of this one day and said, this would be a good, but that's everything. I mean, at the moment, people are terrified of words. Oh, it's really scary. What is? Well, the numbers, but that's words, you know. You know, it's like when you start to kind of see that it's all an illusion, you can't kind of go back in there again. Yeah, you do, you know, you sort of get sucked into it, but not everybody is ready to see that yet. But it's all thought, all thought. I'm doing a lovely program at the moment with Natasha Sverdlov. And it's all, again, it's all women. I think she does it every year, but Mavis Karn spoke last week, and she was talking about pain. She'd been working with somebody who had chronic pain, and she had done this kind of exercise with him. And it's funny because I had considered it myself, you know, sometimes I have pain here or whatever, and I'm particularly going for a massage where you're like, oh, I know it's going to be sore and I tense up. And then I went, just, you know, relax. What is actual pain anyway? Is it bad, or is it just that you think it's bad? So she was kind of talking a little bit around this, and there was a lady who said, yeah, but I have a cold at the moment, and you know, my nose feels like this, and I've sore here. And she's like, but that can't come from thought. And Mavis said something that just went, oh. She said, if you were in a coma, would you have a sore nose? And I was like, you're still there in form, but would you feel that you had a cold? Would you feel that you had pain if your thought wasn't? I was like, no, And there was just that just really set me down a whole kind of rabbit hole of, oh God, what else, you know, is thought that we think is not thought.
Yeah, that's really interesting. About healing, I mean, some things you can just drop and then you feel good again. And some things, it seems to me at least, that you need to have some kind of medical professional that help you with certain issues. That's really interesting. I really like to listen to Anita Murjani and her story, mm-hmm. about how she, you know, came back healthy into this world. Very, very hopeful.
Yeah, hopeful. It's a great word.
So perhaps this is a good time to wrap this up. It has been a lovely conversation, and I have really enjoyed it. And listening to your nice Irish accent, that's perfect.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on. It's been lovely. It
has been a really great time. So thank you.
Thank you both.
So if someone else get this nice feeling that I have while they have listened to you, how can they get in contact with you?
Just tracygeraghty.com. They'll find all of my contact details there. It's the easiest way to get in touch.
Perfect. And we will put that info in the published versions as well.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
So... thank you, and wish you a very nice weekend, and hope it will be really nice.
Likewise. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.